أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To our listeners, welcome to the Deep Discussions podcast. This is our IG live edition where inshallah we will be interviewing a very special guest once again. The Deep Discussions podcast is powered by Developing Diamonds, where we encourage you to unplug, to reconnect, and have the deep discussions that matter the most. I'm your host today, inshallah, Kalisha Bennett, and I'd like to welcome today's guest who has just come on onto the live. Our guest tonight is Sheikh Wa'il Ibrahim. He is hopefully going to request to join this live so I can add him to the conversation. He's the founder of the Aware Academy. He's also the founder of Mentor Plus. He's an international speaker, he's a teacher and a coach, and as well as one of my very respected mentors and elders, alhamdulillah. So I'm just going to add him to this conversation so we can get to know him and get straight into our deep discussion, inshallah. And perhaps he can tell you a little bit more about himself, from himself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Wa'il, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Excellent, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Good to see you. You're looking well, alhamdulillah, in front of your millions of books there in your office.
You have seen it live before, yeah?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's the traumatizing room where you made me first do my very first live online. I remember having a heart attack, and then alhamdulillah, your wife calmed me down with her beautiful dinner that she made.
Yeah, I remember this is the time where you refused. You were reluctant to come and do something live, but look at you now, mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Having your own podcast, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we've grown a lot and have developed a lot. That's why we're called Developing Diamonds, right, Sheikh? I remember you said to me in that first live, you said to me, calm down, just relax a bit. It's not a janaza, because I looked like I was like someone had died or like I was about to die. I remember I was absolutely terrified. Still, I feel sometimes a bit of fear and anxieties, but we move through it, inshallah, for the greater benefit. So welcome to the Deep Discussions podcast, Sheikh, and no doubt this is, inshallah, reward, part of your reward as well, because it's an offshoot of Developing Diamonds. Developing Diamonds was born through one of your coaching sessions where, you know, we uncovered the intention and the desire to establish this business, alhamdulillah. So we've been very busy doing a lot of work. May Allah record it on your scales.
Ameen, alhamdulillah. You were ready to, mashallah, shine, alhamdulillah,
shine like a diamond, they say.
Alhamdulillah.
That's a really bad joke. Anyway, so,
let me laugh.
Yeah, get it out of your system. So how are you, Sheikh, in general? How are you going? What's happening? How's your health? How's your work situation, your businesses, all of that going? In general, how is everything going?
So, alhamdulillah, health-wise, I am walking. Alhamdulillah, as you know, I got this massive slip disc last year, April last year, close to a year now, I can't believe it, that pinned me to the ground, couple of months wheelchair-bound. It was a terrifying time, but subhanAllah, out of this traumatic experience, my wheelchair was born. It's a book that will be launched very soon, inshallah, where I extracted a lot of lessons during this difficult time and how I got back on my feet. So I started to walk, still a little bit of numbing here and there, weakness in my both legs, but alhamdulillah, I can walk. Business, my wife's taking care of that. She's making the money. I'm in front of the camera making the delivering the content. But alhamdulillah, the Aware Academy is growing. We've been, alhamdulillah, certifying coaches in the past couple of months now, mashallah, a few already been certified, officially certified from Malaysia, from Pakistan, from Australia, and a couple of brothers and sisters from the UK still to submit their final project to be certified. So alhamdulillah, it's going very well. I'm still a student counselor at the Australian Islamic College here, loving my work, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, very good, mashallah. As usual, still busy and productive and ever growing. I met a few, or I've spoken to a few individuals in the community who'd mentioned that they'd just become certified aware coaches or mentors. So yeah, it's good to see that that awareness is increasing and we're having individuals a bit more trained on the topic of pornography recovery, pornography addiction recovery, as well as prevention. A lot of these people were working in the community and a couple of them were in schools as student counselors. So very good to see, mashallah. So Sheikh, I wanted to go straight into our deep discussion and I wanted to ask, in your perspective, in your experience, what is the deepest area of concern for you when it comes to our community or when it even comes to not just the Muslim community, but, you know, I guess on a wider scale as well, society at large? What's the greatest concern for you?
Wallahi, sister, and I believe you are also aware that there are a lot of areas that need to be tackled. Not just specific area, but I found it very difficult to handle couples counseling because from these counseling sessions with couples, you get to learn that there are a lot of problems that we as leaders in the community, I believe that we failed our duty not addressing these issues regularly because it's prevalent. So issues like domestic violence is on the rise, yet we don't see a lot of mashayikh, a lot of scholars are on the pulpit during Jum'ah educating the masses. Issues like mental health and those who go through traumatic experiences like depression and anxiety, and yet you find family members telling them, never go to a psychologist, never go to a psychiatrist, you're not crazy, just improve your iman and so on and so forth. Divorce is on the rise for the past 20 years, just like chewing gum. Seriously, all these issues, I think, were that this polygamy, justified polygamy, unjustified polygamy is on the rise and so on. And of course, my area of expertise is porn addiction, something that perhaps very few people have addressed in the past 20 years.
So what's number one for you, Sheikh, the deepest area of concern?
I have always said that pornography addiction is the deepest because almost every individual that I interacted with on any matter, I would ask that question directly or indirectly, and I would find that pornography has some problems, some issues, or pornography had impacted them in a way or another. So perhaps that's my deepest concern at the moment, is how to not only raise awareness about the matter, but how can we really provide an environment that really would be conducive to iman-driven activities that will ultimately prevent people from falling into that trap. Because once you are free from this shackle of addiction, you will become a good father, you will become a good parent, you will become a good and productive educator and so on. So perhaps that's the one, and that's why I've been focusing on this area for the past many years now.
Yeah, so I guess looking at people who do get addicted to pornography, not everybody becomes addicted. Some are intentionally exposed, actively seeking it, and others are, it's an accidental occurrence that happens early in their years. When we look at the difference between some falling into addiction and others moving away from it and not falling into addiction, when you're looking at the path of recovery, Sheikh, how do you connect that to the actual core root cause? What do you see as the core root cause of addiction to pornography or even addiction to any type of thing in the first place? And what do you do about tackling that original root cause?
Yeah, so it's a very important point is to dig deeper during these discussions with people who have issues with addiction to pornography or to sex or to substances and so on. And you will always find that there has been something happened back in the days when they were young that led them to this curiosity of looking at nudity and so on. I've written, I don't know if you have read my book, Aware, Find Out Who You Are with Porn. And I think, yeah, you read it because I sent you and you wrote some endorsement. And if you've noticed, I have written stories of real people who have been addicted to pornography. And in almost every story, there is a traumatic experience that took place in the past that remained unaddressed for many, many years. And as a result, pornography became for them, or sex in general, became for them something to soothe that pain. So unless we address those underlying problems, we will never be able to help those who are addicted. So there are many, many stories, sister. We heard Quran teachers, walayadu billah, molesting children. We've heard a father being, caught in the act. We have heard a mother who invited parents into their homes, men into her home and committed adultery in front of her children and so on. And children growing up in these environments, when they see these issues, definitely to impact them and it will impact their behavior later on in life. So sometimes we have to address those underlying problems in order to treat them from the addictive behavior.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for that explanation. Yeah. I wanted to move into, I guess you're a community leader in a way, and you're connected to community leaders, community elders. You often will have a seat at the table when an issue arises that is a crisis point for the community. Would you give us a little bit of insight into that world and share with us what is it that our leaders are discussing in terms of the way forward for our community? What are the leaders addressing? What are their concerns? What are they planning and strategizing for the future of our communities?
You're cornering me, huh? I'm very straightforward, and I've learned that from my sheikh. And I feel that we are lagging way behind. We sit on this big long table to discuss issues and all that. We take long time to decide a matter. We address topics that sometimes are irrelevant. However, I can see, mashallah, in the past 1 year or two here in Australia, that mashallah, tabarakallah, our leaders started to address issues that are very, very important for the community, especially mental health issues, and shifting now the narrative from it's a result of lacking iman, and you didn't read the Quran, you didn't make the dua, look into both sides, spiritual solutions as well as also medical assistance. So alhamdulillah, it's slowly but surely things are changing. I have to mention Sheikh Safda Parker, for example, one of my colleagues and friend, who mashallah tabarakallah was very reluctant to talk about addiction to pornography and all that. And he said, no, I wouldn't ever imagine myself doing this. But to my surprise, he took my book and he turned it into a series of khutbahs in his masjid, mashallah tabarakallah. So there are a few issues that we are discussing. Unity. How can the imams and the mashayikh around the world really be united, and instead of bashing each other on the social media and exposing each other supposedly because of mistakes happen here and there, to advise each other behind doors and get the guidance of our elders and so on. So yeah, things are moving forward, but very slowly, I believe.
Sheikh, what would you say are our weaknesses as a community?
What is our weaknesses as community? We have left the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a very scary hadith where the angels will prevent some Muslims from reaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pool, at that fountain where we're supposed to drink from his hands, where we will never feel thirsty again. And the narration goes that the angels will block those people from reaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet would plead, "My ummah, my people." And then the angels would say that they are not your people, they are not your ummah. I want you to imagine this with me. We call ourselves a Muslim community, the Muslim Ummah, and this Islamic center, this masjid, this board of trustees, and blah, blah, blah. Yet some of these Muslims will not be able even to access the man that we claim to be our leaders on the Day of Judgment, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will plead, my people, these are my people. The angels say, no, they are not. You don't know what they have done after you. Meaning they have changed your way of life. They have chosen a different path. They thought that they are smarter than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your sunnah. And as a result, they became misguided. As a result, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, you know, bu'dan bu'dan suhqan suhqa, get away from me, suhqan wa la'yadu billah, is a place in hellfire. So our main weakness is that we have strayed away from the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah. You talk to people, they tell you that they can't really survive, they can't function without watching TV series, movies, listening to music, and so they can't function. They can't. You see what's wrong with it? Vulgar language, which the Prophet ﷺ said one word may send you, wala'yadu billah, into hellfire for 70 years. You get questions like, what's wrong with beer now? Muslims are asking this. What's wrong with beer? Doesn't get me drunk, and so on. So straying away from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the lifestyle, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, is, I think, the greatest weakness that we are experiencing in our time today.
So other than returning to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where does our strength lie, Sheikh?
This is what we've been discussing, Sister Kalisha, that our strength lies in our unity, our strength lies in sticking to the Quran and sticking to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our strength lies in listening to senior scholars and elders and not to look at them as if they are, you know, strict unnecessarily, without even sitting with them and gaining some knowledge from them. You know, I was talking to one of my mashayikh, and I told him that I'm facing sometimes challenges that are threatening my principles and values. What do I do? We say, leave that environment immediately. No even hesitation. You say, don't allow your principles to be challenged. Because what will happen at the end, my sister, is you will get accustomed to that. You will become a politician instead of a guide, instead of a teacher, instead of a sheikh, a scholar. You will become a politician. You will say that which pleases others, which pleases the institutions and the board of trustees and friends, instead of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our strength is really purifying our heart and getting back to the Quran and the Sunnah and saying the truth, even if it would lead to certain unpleasant moments. May Allah protect us all.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair. Amazing advice. Sheikh, how can someone achieve a deeper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, this is my course, by the way, which will commence in about 1.5 hours. So we have started a course called Restart Your Heart every Thursday at 7 p.m. Perth time. And in it, we are actually discussing how to get back to shape and how can we start our commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how can we maintain consistency once that relationship is established. And we said that we have to be serious about this deen. If you're not serious about this deen, what else are you going to be serious about? This is your faith. This is the first thing that you will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is your salah. If it is sound, everything will fall into place. If it's corrupted, then inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un, whatever goodness you have established is void if you didn't perfect your salah. Are you serious about it or not? Are you serious about reading the Quran, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the mashayikh said, if you want Allah to speak to you, read the Quran. If you want to speak to Allah, make dua. Are you having that seriousness in your life about your deen? What is your connection with the Quran? What is your connection with your daily engagement with the community? Are you a productive Muslim who's serving the community? Are you a person who would be remembered after his demise? And so on. So in order to really strengthen the tie with the Quran, in brief, we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you forgot that, then you never be able to excel in life. That's your number one priority. Why you're breathing today is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worship here doesn't mean only to pray five times a day, not only to fast during Ramadan and pay charity and go to Mecca. Worship, ibadah, is, you know, it interferes in every aspect of our life, including your smile, including your the way you behave, the way you walk, the way you dress up. Everything you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ibadah. I think that's the ultimate solution to the Muslims today, is to remember why they were created in the first place.
Jazakallah khair. Awesome advices, mashallah. I think that concept of having a deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in engaging in conversation with Him, which is through recitation and study and reflection on the Quran, to hear His speech to you, and then to make dua and to make salah and communicate your heart's deepest wishes, you know, directly to your Creator, subhanAllah.
Another advice, my sister, ask yourself, my brothers and sisters who are watching, and those who watch later, inshallah ta'ala, ask yourself, will you be able one day, 2 days, weekly, monthly, to wake up in the middle of the night and pray two rak'ah tahajjud, qiyamul layl, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without anyone watching you? Will you be able to do that? Will you be able to sit after Fajr prayer and open the Mus'haf, open your Quran and recite? Will you be able to give 2 minutes of your time after every salah to make a dua? These optional acts of worship, even though they are optional, they are not compulsory, yet they can pile up your good deeds, inshallah, on the day of judgment, and you'll be amazed. But the point is, this is the challenge. The challenge is not to pray five times a day. The challenge is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it is not actually a requirement, when it is not an obligatory. Test yourself, my brothers and sisters. If you feel that it is very heavy on you to do optional acts of ibadah, then be careful. You have to review your heart and cleanse your heart and get back to shape and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have that heart for worshiping Allah, because you were created for that purpose.
So draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through doing the optional deeds, the things that you don't have to do, and you do them on top of solid, consistent, obligatory acts as well. So
definitely, my sheikh told me, if you looked at the sunnah prayers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example, if you looked at it as unimportant because it's just sunnah, it's optional, then you will also look at the obligatory prayers later on as unimportant. It would be very difficult for you actually to perform the obligatory prayer. The companions back in the days, they would imitate the Prophet in any action, even if it's not an act of ibadah. They will do it because they have seen the Prophet ﷺ doing it. Sunnah for the companions was looked at as an act of compulsory. Where we are looking today as the act of, we are asking, is this sunnah so that we don't perform it? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Is this sunnah so I don't want to do it? You see?
Yeah, easy option. I don't want to do the absolute bare minimum. Sorry, Sheikh, say that again. It just cut off.
What a sentence.
It just cut that sentence, that last sentence, Sheikh. What did you say?
No, I was saying that's why the companions are elevated to that status. They were considered to be the best of all generations because they looked at the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ as a complete revelation. So whatever he does, for them it was considered as obligatory act. They took it very seriously and sincerely. Where in our time today, we look at the sunnah and the life of the Prophet ﷺ trivially. We don't look at it as something really essential for us to grow and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Sheikh, I remember reading or I heard somewhere that the scholars say that if you establish a sunnah habit, for example, the sunnah ratiba prayers every day or doing duha every day, and you have that consistently as part of your routine, if you drop that habit which you had established, that it is it makruh or is it, it can be, something which was now, it had become compulsory upon you because you had an established habit and routine of a sunnah act. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's not going to be any act that is any optional act. Yani the Prophet ﷺ was talking to Abdullah ibn Amr or Abdullah ibn Umar, if I'm not mistaken, may Allah be pleased with them both. And Abdullah ibn Umar, in the conversation, he said that he's not consistent in doing tahajjud, qiyamul layl. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ni'mal abdu Abdullah law kana yusalli bil layl. What a wonderful slave of Allah Abdullah ibn Umar would be if he consistently pray late at night. Meaning, if you have really started something which can pile up your scale of good deeds, because the Prophet ﷺ said the best of all prayers is tahajjud after the obligatory. There is nothing better than that. So if you have established that and you became lazy later on and you cut off that act from your life, subhanallah al-azim, you are actually, you have to look at yourself as, what have I done to be stripped of this act? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away that act? You must have done something that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe. Yes, it's really a bad symptom. Probably you have done something sinful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now rejecting even you to come and pray. Can you imagine? So from that perspective, learn. That's why I always advise people, if you want to start any act of worship, optional act of worship, make it very little. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved act to Allah is consistent act, even if it was little. So 2 rak'ah instead of 20. Few verses of the Quran daily instead of one juz. There is no problem. Whatever you can bear, you ask yourself, what is it that I can do? You don't have to look at someone who's praying 20 rak'ah a day and say, I want to be like him. No, no, no. Maybe your 2 rak'ah with sincere intention and consistency is much better than the brother who's praying 20 rak'ah every day. That's what he can do. So this is what I always advise. Start small and grow bigger. Slowly, slowly you can increase. But make sure whatever you've started to maintain. That's the challenge.
Yeah, so develop small habits and build incrementally and have consistency in them rather than a lot. Absolutely. And then dropping it all at once.
I had a story to tell you regarding Qiyamul Layl. We had a workshop in Hong Kong back in the days. It was on a Saturday. The whole day we were talking about Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud, the virtue of Tahajjud. The next morning on Sunday, those sisters who used to come and open the door and all that, they were sleeping inside the Islamic center. So I was wondering, why are they sleeping inside? Nobody has done it before. Finally, they opened the door and all of them were sleeping. And I asked them, why are you sleeping in the center? They say, sorry, brother, because we were praying Qiyamul Layl last night. I say, mashallah, and inspired them. And now, mashallah, but why are you sleeping? That was my question. Because we prayed 100 rak'ah, brother. They prayed 100 rak'ah and they missed out on Fajr. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un. So you see, start small, and probably they have never repeated this experience. I believe they never go back to that because they were exhausted throughout Sunday. So start small. And I always tell even my clients, those who wanted to start some habit, I tell them, do 2 rak'ah tahajjud, for example, and maintain it for 6 months, even for a year. Don't worry. Yeah. Even if you feel like you are able to do more, hold your horses for a while until you are absolutely sure those 2 rak'ah became part of who you are, became part of your daily activities. Mm-hmm. Then you increase, inshallah.
Has to be done in a healthy way. You often hear it too, even we've got Ramadan coming up. Some people, they do, mashallah, tarawih into the night, then they stay up and they do some Quran and study Islam. Then they get up for tahajjud and then they fall asleep just before Fajr and then miss suhoor and Fajr. So they start on the back foot again.
Absolutely. And they start strong in the first 1 week of Ramadan.
It's not maintainable. Then you have the dip.
And then the last 3 days, 27th night, everybody goes to the masjid, everybody tahajjud, all that. And then the first night of the Eid, no Fajr. And we have seen this throughout the masjids everywhere. It's a sickness, it's a disease. That's why if you want to prepare for Ramadan now, that's the time. Sha'ban is the time. Consider Sha'ban as Ramadan already started. The Prophet would fast almost the entire month of Sha'ban. The entire month. And if it's even like, would think that he has fasted every day of Sha'ban.
Yeah, subhanAllah. It's like we're a very hype driven ummah. We like the hype. We like the excitement of the start of Ramadan. We like the excitement of the end of Ramadan. We get caught up in the excitement of Eid, and then we just lose the entire focus, the core basis of our spiritual teachings and routines and disciplines.
That's why Islam, it is always called, as we heard, it's a way of life. It's not a Ramadani way of life. It's a way of life means it's 24/7 job.
Lifestyle.
Whether in Ramadan or after Ramadan. Maybe Ramadan is a month of opportunity. Allah is multiplying the reward. But He's giving you this opportunity so that you can maintain at least some of the acts that you have started in Ramadan after Ramadan.
Yeah.
So don't be people of Ramadan, be people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, Ramadan Muslims. I remember there was a couple of lectures about it back in the day. They used to call it Ramadan Muslims. Don't be a Ramadan Muslim where you only worship for that month and then that's it, you know, special occasions. Sheikh, I wanted to ask you a question from our deep discussions cards. MashaAllah, you're one of the top purchasers of these. You bought a bunch of these and shared them at your school.
It's always here around me, but my wife is cleaning. That's the problem.
So she must have done a good job about cleaning.
Oh, it's over there. I saw it from here, over there. Yeah. What's the question?
All right. So the question I have for you is, seeking knowledge is important because... Seeking knowledge is important because...
Because it's obligatory upon every Muslim male and female. Talabul ilm farida. The Prophet said, not me, seeking knowledge is an obligatory duty upon every Muslim male and female. That's why how important knowledge is. The first word that has been revealed in the Quran is all about knowledge. Iqra. The hadith of the Prophet and Jibreel, hadith Jibreel, known as Ummu Sunnah, the mother of all Sunnah, it was for educational purpose. Jibreel came neat, wearing bright white thobe. His hair was combed very, very nicely. He sat by the Prophet and asked him those three questions. Talked to me about Islam, Iman, Ihsan. And at the end, the Prophet told the companions, it was Jibreel, Ja'akum li'allimukum deenakum.
He came to teach you your religion. Yeah.
You see, Allah sent an angel to teach us. That's education, subhanAllah. Yeah. And look at the manners in which Jibreel have interacted with the Prophet. He knew everything. He's an angel of Allah. He knew everything. But he was doing it for the benefits of those who were sitting with the Prophet. So education, knowledge is absolutely essential for every Muslim.
Yeah, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I have second last question, inshallah, before we wrap up shortly. Sheikh, what is your hope for the future of our community, of our ummah? What is your hope for us moving forward in this modern time, in this challenging, unprecedented time? What do you hope for us moving forward?
I really hope, especially for the young generation. I have a teenager girl, I have a boy who is nearly 14 now, and I look at them and I look at their ambitions and dreams, and it's all related to this dunya. I hope and I pray that we will save some of our dreams for the akhirah, for the everlasting life. I wish, whenever I have that interaction with my students, you know, I'm teaching high school students, and when I ask them, what's your dream? Nothing about Jannah, nothing about the Prophet, nothing about the companions. It's all about this dunya. I want to do this, I want to earn this, I want to have. So my hope is that we really put our goal higher than that, make our vision higher than that, work in this dunya in order to achieve the ultimate hope, Jannah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah protect us all and gather us in Jannah together. Ameen.
Ameen, ameen. You know, there's a... something that I learnt back many, many years ago. You know, you have people, sometimes they judge or they joke or they tease or mock people who perhaps don't work as much and instead dedicate their time to a Quran class or hifz, or they say, no, I'm not at uni because I've decided to pursue, you know, my Islamic studies or my Quranic studies. And people say, aren't you worried about your future? Don't you care about your future? And what they don't realize is that these individuals, they do care about their future and they're caring about the eternal future, the life beyond this
Absolutely.
life. They have higher aspirations than the most highest academic or the most successful career person or corporate person or big business. They have higher aspirations, Pamela, but they get looked down upon or mocked as not being visionary people.
But I wanna remind you, Sister Kalisha, that those people who care about their religious education, Quran memorization, are also excellent and successful in life.
Exactly.
I have
both.
Seen so.
You can
I
have
am,
both. You can have both.
Wallahi, majority. I wanna tell you something. The majority of those who are keen, not pushed by their parents, those who
yeah,
are
they're
keen
driven,
to memorize
self-driven.
the Quran. Wallahi, I have, you know, I, as I mentioned again, we have over 1,000 plus students now in Australian Islamic College. And many of the students, mashallah, tabarakallah, from different backgrounds, they are keen to learn about Islam. They are standing and giving the khutbah on Friday. Those same people who are spiritually, you know, driven, they are still successful in their academics.
And as
there
we
is
should
no
be.
Conflict.
We should
There's
be.
no
That is the
conflict.
tradition
That should
of
be.
our scholars. Yeah, our scholars were scholars of
Wallahi.
Islam, but they were scientists, mathematicians, astronomers, and all sorts, weren't they?
I have a friend, a doctor friend, a heart surgeon, who,
yeah.
MashaAllah tabarakah, by the witnessing of his colleagues and his friends, this brother in heart surgery that takes sometimes 11 hours and 12 hours, you know, in the theater, he is revising the Quran while he is operating on the patient. Reviewing the entire Quran. So he's a doctor, medical doctor.
That's
Sheikh
the person
Tasneem
you would
Chaudhry,
want
I
doing
mean.
your heart surgery, doing a ruqya on your heart while he's operating. SubhanAllah.
Can
That's
you
perfect.
imagine, SubhanAllah? We have Dr.
Yeah.
Zakir Naik, medical doctor, and mashallah, excellent in da'wah. And Dr. Tawfiq Chaudhry is one of the people also, mashallah, who have acquired all this knowledge, and he's a medical doctor. There is no conflict whatsoever. Dr. Abdullah Rushdie from Egypt, he's a scholar and, you know, Azhar and eloquent and so on. And at the same time, he's also excellent in the field of sports and so on.
Yeah.
So there is no conflict. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. When you seek religious knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but don't forget the portion that Allah had provided for you in this dunya. So we cannot neglect the dunya because we are living in it. So succeed in this dunya.
Yeah.
But
we
your
have
vision
the
should
dua.
Be the hereafter.
We have the dua, Sheikh. You know, that tells us that we have permission. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So we can ask for
Allah.
the goodness of this life and the goodness of the hereafter. And as Muslims, we're supposed to live by and stand by a standard and a quality of excellence. So that should apply to our dunya and our
Absolutely.
Akhirah. SubhanAllah.
Brilliant.
So, Sheikh, before I ask you our final question, I just want to remind our listeners to check out our past episodes. We've had some amazing episodes and amazing interviews so far over the past few months. Myself and my co-host, Sister Rosalind de Bono, she's been doing the Revert editions, hearing amazing Revert stories. And inshallah, you know, the podcast is inspiring individuals, families, Reverts to Islam and beyond. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check out your favorite podcast platform and look up the Deep Discussions podcast. And don't forget, anyone who doesn't already have, to get yourself a set of cards, keep them around your house, keep them in your handbag or in your car, and pull them out and have deep discussions with those closest to you. So, Sheikh, before we wrap up, can you tell us what is next for you in your journey moving forward, and how can our viewers get in touch with you or your work?
What's next? I'm focused now on the Aware Academy development and training coaches around the world. So, and also for the first time, I'm starting a group counseling instead of one-on-one. So I'm quitting one-on-one counseling at the moment. I wanted to benefit as many people as possible. So the same program that I used to deliver, and that is the critical alignment model, will be shrunk into 2 hours group counseling. So that's coming up in May, early May, inshallah ta'ala. And also another certification program is going to take place after Ramadan on the 19th of May. Those who are interested, you can inshallah get in touch. I will leave the email now for those people who are online. What else? So we have some events coming on site. One event is Taboo. We're talking about divorce, domestic violence, pornography, polygamy, and mental health issues. So it's a long day workshop, inshallah, coming up this Sunday, بإذن الله تعالى. And my latest
in
book
Perth, yeah,
in Perth,
Perth, Western Australia, yeah.
We are trying to broadcast it live. We are just looking into the technology part and the internet because we need good speed internet. But it's, inshallah, it's going to be recorded and soon to be posted, بإذن الله تعالى. And lastly, my book is almost in the final stage, My Wheelchair, my story of coming back up on my feet.
MashaAllah. Looking forward to it. And everyone, don't forget to check out Sheikh's free Thursday night series coming up tonight. Actually, Restart Your Heart as well. There's plenty of free content out there that you can benefit from with what Sheikh teaches. And he's, mashallah, multifaceted as a teacher and a coach and speaker. And someone who can really, mashallah, connect you with what you need to do and where you can really make the changes in your life for the better, inshallah. And obviously, if you are serious about learning, then think about joining his group coaching program or becoming a certified coach in the Aware Academy as well, inshallah. So you can find Sheikh Wa'il on all the different platforms and he'll post some contact details as well in the comments of this video. Sheikh, I just wanted to say on behalf of the community and from myself, Jazakallah Khairan for everything that you do. We are watching, we are learning, we are inspired, we are making dua for you and we are taking from your energy, we are taking from your intention and it is planting that same seed of energy and intention within our hearts that we inshallah want to spread the seeds across the globe inshallah ta'ala and reach as many people as we can and continue to create change and to remind others ultimately about the bigger picture, the purpose of life, about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and that he is deserving of our belief, our worship, our devotion and our remembrance and veneration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward and bless you and accept from you and grant you the best of health, a long, long life of service, inshallah, and full ability and capacity to be able to serve
Allah
the deen.
Bless you, Jazakallah khairan for the invitation. Wonderful, mashallah, program. May Allah pour his barakah upon you and all your audience and your team, mashallah. And Brother Muhammad Imran, in the comment, you are in my dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success in your exam tomorrow and in the hereafter, inshallah. Allah bless you. Thank you.
Jazakallah khairan, everybody. Take care. This is Kalisha Bennett signing out from the Deep Discussions podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.